Hi. So, is everyone here who's going to be here? Okay, so I guess this is everyone then. Hello, I'm Demi Marie Obenauer, Invisible Things Lab, and I'm here to talk about hostile multi-tenancy on commodity GPUs and to propose.
Demi, I can't hear you.
Oh.
Yes, it's Chromium.
I'm here to talk about enabling secure multi-tenancy on commodity GPUs. So if you look at current multi-tenancy approaches, aka virtualization in a lot of contexts, though it's not always synonymous, for GPUs, they generally have one of a few different properties. Some of them have really large attack surface. That would be stuff like VTG or VirGL/VirtIO. Some of them only support one VM at a time per GPU. That would be PCI pass-through without SRIOV. Some of them require high-end hardware, as in thousands of dollars. That would be SRIOV-based PCI pass-through. There's also Microsoft's GPU PV, but that's proprietary, so it's not suitable for free and open source software. Or there's some combination of the above, and that's kind of annoying. So, for what do we need from a good hostile multi-tenancy solution for commodity GPUs? It needs to provide support for games and other GPU-intensive software. It needs to be secure enough to turn it on by default. It needs.
Sorry, we have technical issues. Also, Matthew, please be careful about your language. Demi, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now everything is great.
Okay. Anyway, none of the existing solutions meet these requirements. And that's really annoying. So what I'm proposing is a minimal user space graphics driver. Minimal meaning that we keep the amount of privileged code that can directly talk to hardware, to a minimum. And that's important because less code, less attack surface, less likely to have bugs. Usual reasons. Same as the microkernel minimality principle. Why user space? Because you don't have to wait on the kernel to iterate. When you update, you don't have to reboot. If there's a fault and the thing crashes, it just gets restarted by your service manager. And it should expose a well-defined API that's documented, that's transport independent, and that's specified separately from the source code. It should be written in a modern memory-safe language to provide safe abstractions and avoid memory corruption vulnerabilities. in case you're wondering, by the way, if you're going to use formal verification, if you're going to formally verify it, then any language counts as memory safe because a formally verified code that doesn't have any bugs will be memory safe. And it should use capabilities for access control. That's what SEL4 uses. That's what a lot of other modern systems use. And it has a lot of advantages. So why minimal? Well, modern GPUs have full virtual memory support. GPU code is restricted by page tables, just like CPU code is. Ideally, we won't need to perform any sort of really complex static analysis of shaders. In practice, there might very well be a lot of caveats there. I don't know if GPU hardware's instruction decoding is robust enough to avoid that. That said, hopefully, if it has to be done, it can at least be simple. That this is an area where the hardware experts will have to determine if it's actually, if that hope is actually viable. Why user space? Well, there's a few reasons. We can use modern programming languages such as Rust, because Rust is just an example there. There's no fundamental reason that I just picked Rust because it's one that I like and use, but there's lots of other possibilities. The point is we're not just limited by what's supported in the kernel. We can use the full standard library, stuff like opening files and map, all that nice stuff just works. We don't have to use special kernel programming paradigms. We can develop faster. There's no need for a reboot to restart the driver. The driver can be sandboxed via an IOMMU, so it can't at least directly compromise the rest of the system. Now, depend whether or not that protection is actually good depends, but it at least makes accidental, at least reduces the likelihood of it crashing the system by accident. And if we wanted to, we could embed the program, the driver, into a user space program such as the Wayland compositor. Is that a good idea? Probably not. See minimality earlier, but it's possible, and it's a cute trick. So why a well-defined API? For one, it means that the specification can be separate from the source code. And that's really nice from the point of view of API clients. It means that your API client knows what it should be doing. It means that you can have proper conformance testing. It means that there's less likelihood of bugs on both ends because there's a document that describes what both sides should actually be doing and that tests can be written against. And it should also be transport independent. Clients can communicate over AF Unix if it's, say, in a container or a Flatpak or something. AF VSOC if you're using something like KVM. They could use VChans for Xen. If you're on SEL4, you could use SEL4 IPC, or you could even use a network. Now, that likely be rather tricky because not shared memory, but the point still stands. And it's easier to fuzz by a substantial margin because the fuzzer knows what it should be doing. And why memory safe? This I'm not even going to go into a whole lot of detail about because it's already a very well-known situation. This is just one link on the subject. Why capabilities? There's lots of resources on capability-based access control. I'm not going to go into all of them here. But the point is that a capability, it both designates a resource and it authorizes access. Without an appropriate capability, you can't access the resource. In fact, you can't even express an action that would access the resource. And that's really nice because it avoids all sorts of confused deputy attacks. If there's no way for me to get a capability to Etsy Shadow, I can't pass some privileged process, a capability that says for Etsy Shadow, and therefore I can't trick said privileged process into writing into Etsy Shadow on my behalf. And that's really nice. It's also used by a lot of other systems. It's used by SEL4. It's used by Capsicum for FreeBSD. It's used by Cloud ABI. It's used by the WebAssembly system interface, WASI. And as I mentioned, it avoids all sorts of confused EPU bugs, and that's really nice. Finally, let's write this. GPU multi-tenancy should be readily available. Giving VMs or other untrusted code, for that matter, access to hardware accelerated graphics should be safe. If you're someone like me who relies on sandboxing a lot, whether it be via something like CubesOS or anything else, you shouldn't need to have a completely separate machine for gaming. And it's up to us to make this happen. I can't do it alone. No other one person can do it alone. But I think we can do it together. And I think that we should do it together because the benefits outweigh the effort required. This really is important. So anyway, I guess now it's time to actually start the discussion because this is a workshop and it's a call for discussion and a call for starting an implementation. So what do people think? Hello?
What do you think about capability enforcement? If you have some command stream to the GPU, do you want to reconstruct it based on the driver API or just analyze what client sent and either accept it or reject individual commands?
So that's not something that I've decided upon. That ultimately the final decision on that should probably be made by people who know more about the hardware. My intuition is that my opinion is that if a client tries to do something that they're not allowed to, that's a protocol error and they should be disconnected. If so, in the case of the command stream, I think, well, ideally, there wouldn't need to be any parsing of it because that would all be handled in hardware. But I would say that at least as far as instruction by instructions and access, let me put it this way. If the client does something it shouldn't, just disconnect it because that's a client bug. Otherwise, I'd say as far as the details, I don't know whether it would be simpler and have lower attack surface to have the driver reconstruct the stream based on API calls, or whether it would be best for the driver to validate the stream. My intuition is the former, but I'm not certain.
Yes, I'm mostly asking about not what to do when something is not allowed, but how to detect what the client is trying to do. For example, if you design capabilities for, accessing some memory buffers, or maybe even parts of the screen, then how you enforce that the driver really, the client is not using some obscure operation to operate outside of those boundaries.
So my hope is that that can be left to GPU side page tables, and that that would be enforced by the hardware. Now, whether or not that actually works in practice is another question. As I said, not a hardware expert. So the ideal situation is, say a shader tries to do something it shouldn't. The GPU act, it can't, because that the memory that it does isn't supposed to access isn't mapped into its page tables. And similarly, the Wayland compositor, it can access the frame buffer because the frame buffer is mapped into its page tables. And it's able to get the frame buffer mapped into its page tables because it presented a capability that that authorized it to do so. Now, there is the question of, does real hardware work that way? Again, my understanding is that it does. I could be wrong. Obviously, any sort of instructions that could allow the page table-based isolation to be bypassed would need to be disallowed. Does anyone here have more information about that?
Unfortunately, no, not me at least. I think it a bit amusing that after moving from user land to kernel side, the graphics stacks now moves back to wants to move back to user land. But from the impression I have from other parts of the system, I have the impression that IOMMUs on x86 hardware is still very primitive and not very well supported, but maybe I'm wrong too.
So out of all of this, probably the least important part of it is that it run in user space. I personally am a huge fan of microkernels, where it basically has to run in user space. Ideally, the same driver should be written against some sort of API so that it could be built as, say, a Linux kernel module, a user space process running on SEL4, a kernel driver running on, say, FreeBSD or NetBSD, etc. As I said, the detail, that's not really the point. I think that I'd rather it run in user space. I also would rather stuff like file systems in the network stack be in user space. I think that being able to run it in user space would be a huge improvement, if nothing else, just for debugging purposes and for development. Even if the architecture of the system that it's going to be used in production requires it to run in the kernel space for some reason or another. Other than that, I'm honestly, and also I'd really rather it not be in C unless formal methods or similar are going to be used to guarantee that it doesn't have any memory corruption vulnerabilities, that's another reason for wanting it to. But other than that, I'm not really certain. Like the other stuff is far more important to me. And also, when I say the same driver, I mean same source code, not same binaries. Also, another thing that I hopefully was implicit from the talk in the slides, but that may not have actually been in practice. Sorry, was that this is not meant to provide an emulated GPU to a guest that appears to be the real thing. The assumption is that one has control of the guests and that one can write PV aware drivers that are aware for the guests that are aware of this and speak the corresponding protocol. Now, it might be possible to emulate the actual hardware in Kimi or similar, but that's not quite in scope for this project. So, what else do people?
This is actually, I think, an important design point. What kind of API? On what level this API should be? Should it be specific to the underlying hardware? Like, if you have AMD GPUs, should the API be specific to the AMD? Or should it be generic to work with any hardware beneath?
So parts of it are definitely going to have to be GPU specific, because having a compiler, a shader compiler, run in the driver is just a bad idea. So at the very least, that part isn't going to be GPU specific. My understanding is that lots of other stuff like memory allocations will also wind up being GPU specific. But stuff like for instance, the framing protocol, the way serialization is done, of serialization of messages and such is done, that should be, that part I think can and should be GPU agnostic, simply because it's easier to implement that way. And I don't think it would be a large performance hit at all. What up? And the other thing is that if something can reasonably be abstracted, okay, let me put it this way. It's not the microdriver's job to abstract over the hardware. It is the job of the AP of the client libraries to do so, to the extent that is practical and does not cause too much trouble.
It means you need a custom driver on the client VM side, driver or library or whatever, for each operation operating system you want to support, and for each graphic device you want to support, which makes this really hard to maintain or with sensible hardware support.
So that's a good point. It's one that I haven't actually fully thought through yet. That said, I think it can be avoided. Though, as far as binaries, I think one will probably need something like that. There might be tricks involving WASM and loading code at runtime or something like that. But I think at a source level, it should be possible to split it into a part that is driver dependent, meaning that is host OS, that is guest OS dependent, but not hardware dependent. and that does things like, for the most part, and a part that is guest OS independent but hardware dependent. So the guest dependent, the OS dependent part would handle things like registering device files and such like that. And the device dependent part would handle things like command stream processing, just to give an example. And that avoids it, that if that can be done, and I very much think it can, that turns it from an n times n problem at the source code level to an n plus n problem, which is much more manageable.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think it will be extremely hard. See that we have currently open source drivers for some NVIDIA cards, some GPU, some AMD cards, some Intel cards, and they share the OS OS dependent part in card in form of Linux kernel API, and the hardware dependent part is still a huge product. And I think what you are proposing is doing the same work from scratch for each of those platforms, which I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm not sure if it's realistically without some a lot of funding and a lot of enthusiasts supporting these efforts.
Okay, I'll be honest here. That's the Achilles heel of this proposal. That, in many ways, this is a long shot because this is what you get when a security person thinks, what should a graphics stack look like? Not what can we do with the building blocks we have today. So in many ways, yes, this has issues in that regard, and that it is far-fetched. That said, it might very well be possible to implement some of these on top of existing components. It won't have as high an assurance, it won't have as good assurance guarantees as if it was designed this way from scratch, but I think it could still be significantly better than what we have today. So for instance, one could write a wrapper for the AMD kernel module that, just to give an example, that did such like things like input validation, made sure that you can't pass bad arguments, only exposed the parts that were actually like needed, stuff like that. I think the elephant in the room is going to be NVIDIA, because binary blob. My intuition and my initial reaction is, as far as the answer to that, would be we don't support that. We only support stuff for which there is good documentation. In practice, that might be a very hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. And so, yeah. That's one of the reasons why this is, I'd love to see this implemented. But it's not going to be easy. I'll put it that way. That said, Gnode did manage to do something similar, at least for one Intel GPU. They managed to write a GPU multiplexer, and I think it was around 15,000 lines of C++. And that's what made me even consider that this was possible. Because they did it. Or something like it. And I find that very encouraging. NeoBrain, Matthew.
Yes, but I think Intel graphics are not really high performance graphics, and
I know
probably much, much simpler to handle because of much smaller API. but also for avoiding these all problems, I think one of two approaches could be chosen. Of course, the isolation enforcement part needs to be as small and as robust as possible. But then you can probably have some intermediate component that on one side has this talks to this small driver, and on the other side emulate the original graphics, so you can reuse the unmodified drivers. If that would be possible, then we can avoid a lot of this support matrix issues. Another idea is to expose some unified API for independent of the device, but I think that's way harder.
Yeah, I think that is an absolutely awesome approach. I think also, just to be clear, there is one part that I think can and should be reused, one part of existing GPU drivers that can and should be reused without any modifications, and that's the shader compiler. And my understanding is that's a non-insignificant fraction of the work in writing a GPU driver, is the user space shader compiler. Is that accurate?
Probably, but I don't know if the shader compiler has the proper instrumentation to make sure that the address space does not go out and so on.
Oh, of course not. The shader compiler is considered untrusted here.
Yeah.
It's the point being that it's a substantial piece of chunk that should be able to be reused almost unchanged. I think the emulation, like emulate an unmodified user, an unmodified, like have the emulation done in a non-security critical piece to reduce the support matrix, I think that's a fantastic idea. I think, I am not sure whether it's practical. I don't, because not a hardware expert. I think if it can be done, it'd be a great idea. What do people think?
What do you think about a drastically different approach to have a graphics, actual graphics card to do the all the separation and expose different context in form of SRIOV virtual functions? And of course, some graphics are more robust in this and some are less, but this needs some validation, maybe some fuzzing of the GPUs or something like that. But then no untrusted client would have the actual frame buffer access, and you would do composing of the actual video output using some other method like looking glass or something like that. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea if the hardware supports it. The problem is that a lot of hardware doesn't support it. And one of the goals of this is it should work. One of the goals of this is it should support the graphics hardware people already have. I am not aware of consumer cards that actually support SRIOV. I know that Intel cards support some sort of virtualization, but I don't know if they support SRIOV per se. And also, it's that if the hardware supports it, great. And if the implementation is sufficiently robust, but I don't know if the hardware that users actually have meets that criterion. Because one of the goals of this is, yeah, basically that.
You've seen the demo from Arthur yesterday.
I have.
I'm not sure about specific what other hardware is supported this way, but I think he found a way to enable SRIOV on graphics that when some of the vendors did not initially intended to, may allow to use this method on more cards that we can right now.
That's a good point. There's two things that make me nervous about it. One is if it requires flashing the using special hardware to overwrite the SPI flash. That's not something most people are going to be able to do. It's the kind of thing that most people, it's not something that can be done in pure software, and it's not the kind of thing that you can expect most users to be able to do, because one of the goals of this is to support, it's to meet the end users where they are, basically. The other worry I have is that since it's not supported by the vendor, vendors probably won't issue any sort of security errata for it, and it won't be officially security supported. And that makes me nervous. Again, great idea. And just to be clear, I think the libvfio approach is great. I want them to succeed. I 100% support them. I don't see this as competing with that. I see this as complementary to that. Matthew, NeoBrain, what do you think? Because I haven't heard all that much from either of you.
Well, I was wondering if a first step would not just be to implement something that just exposes a dump frame buffer to each client, and that the simple API would be get me a frame buffer of this and this dimension, maybe be able to resize it, and then let the application just copy pixels there. This is safe. This may be easy to implement. And for many applications, except games and 3D stuff, with nowadays CPUs, the performance may be okay for GAI applications in this kind of simple environment where you limit the number of issues that you have if you start exposing shaders and other kind of accelerations.
That's what CubesRS already does, basically. And we're working on making it faster by trying to reduce the number of copies. The sad truth, though, is that the graphics world is moving in the other direction. GTK4, for instance, has more CSS invalidations than GTK3, and so it's slower in software rendering. Which is unfortunate, but that's the reality. There's ways to work around that with theming, but they come at the cost of worse user experience. And also, users want to play games.
Yes.
They do. And that's, yeah, and that's what makes this hard. You just want to play games. Graphics toolkit developers assume that a GPU is present. And so, for instance, with GTK4, again, using it as an example, the two backends it supports are the Cairo backend, which is incredibly slow, and OpenGL and Vulkan. And so if you don't have hardware OpenGL, you fall back to LLVM pipe.
Yes.
You don't, there's no renderer that's designed to be fast in software.
Well, as I said earlier, I really don't know current hardware very much, but I really have the impression that without more help from the hardware, without a really working IOMMU or IOSRV, it's really going to be painful to get something that you can trust. From my experience, the hardware is always very, very offers a very wide range of ways to try to overcome the protection that will do that you will try to implement, and basically
is that the go ahead?
Yeah. Basically, in my mind, when you have access to some part of the hardware, it's basically equivalent to having access to the full features of the hardware. It's really doing a bad job at partitioning things at this level.
So, are you saying that it's possible for a shader to bypass the page tables and access physical memory directly?
I'm not sure, but I would not bet that it's not possible.
Okay, that would be a nasty problem. And also, another approach, by the way, is something like WASM. If something like WASM for the GPU could be implemented, that would be great. But that is, or if there's some sort of reasonably implementable static analysis that can be done on shaders, for instance, if one can enumerate all possible branch targets and require that shader compilers emit any necessary metadata to make this easy. But if the hardware is... Now, I imagine that for at least some hardware like Android, like some mobile GPUs, for instance, I imagine it should be possible simply because user to root on Android is a fiercely defended security boundary, same for iOS. But again, the hardware has to at least provide the equivalent of user versus kernel isolation. The idea here is to avoid having to provide the second layer of isolation what's effectively a hypervisor level.
Yes, for me, this is the difficult part. When you look at vulnerabilities like Spectre Meltdown and so on, from the CPU side, how can we be sure that there are no such kind of things lurking around on the GPU side?
Well, for Spectre,
currently, when you run several applications with access to the GPU, it would be nice to ensure that one application cannot mess with another. Like if you have two applications with both using some 3D acceleration, GPU acceleration, right?
Yes, and my understanding is that current GPU vendors already support this and have issued CVEs for when that isolation can be bypassed. So it's not, so like I, that's what makes me, so either there's something I'm missing here, which there very well could be because I'm not a hardware expert, but I'm not sure what it is. or this should be doable? So if the answer is this can't be done because...
No, I'm not saying that this cannot be done. It's just that I'm not sure it's possible with the current state of the hardware. You may find some difficulties.
Okay, can you?
But
okay, I have a feeling there's some. Okay, gotcha. I'm okay. Anyway, so that's annoying.
Well, the problem is that we probably would need more people who actually have done some low-level hardware work there today, but unfortunately, there is no one, so we don't have much data to...
Yeah, that would be an issue. This is, if the hardware can't provide the isolation, can't provide even basic isolation, then the only hope is software fault isolation. And that makes things a lot trickier. That said, if that's actually the case, if it actually can't, then I'd expect to see a bunch of CVEs filed against things like the Intel GPU driver. Assuming that people have done the research.
If this starts to be some path that is interesting for people wanting to exploit vulnerabilities and to get into systems, then probably we will see some more research there and probably more CVEs.
Yeah, that's as I said, that is the biggest weaknesses here are the amount of effort required and the assumption that the hardware can provide isolation. My understanding is that the hardware is getting better, and I don't just mean SRIOV, but like other stuff as well.
Yes, hopefully. I think the chip designers, Intel, AMD, and so on, they have discovered that there are all these kinds of hardware level vulnerabilities that are very difficult to fix after the fact, and they will probably be more careful for the next designs. And we can hope that this will also be true for the GPUs and not only for CPUs.
Yeah. Also, the other thing that gives me some degree of confidence is Intel's reaction to the famous GPU leak bug.
Yes, and the other fact is that I know, but even if I don't have details, that on the HPC side, NVIDIA, for example, is investing a lot on virtualizing the GPUs to allow several people to run CUDA jobs in parallel on high-end GPUs. And they will probably also take care about security there. And even if CUDA is not directly a shader for a GPU, it's still the same kind of architectures and issues. So
So I guess the question ultimately, I guess The annoying part, obviously, is that I can come up with ideas, but I'm not an expert on the hardware.
Yeah, me neither, unfortunately. So,
yeah. So yeah, from just, I guess the other, this is very much, here's what I'd like to see happen. It's what I hope to see happen. It's what I think should happen, at least eventually. I think the question is, but there is the question of, has its time come yet?
Not completely, but many projects like that takes years to actually come to something that's usable.
Agreed. This is a lot of effort.
And. Well, I think it's nice to start thinking about it and start telling people that this is something that we need. Generally, I think that the approach of CubeOS is nice and addresses real issues that many people even in corporate security environments don't really take into account. I've seen a few places where people say, well, you need to have two computers, one to work on our main development of secret projects and so on, and you have another system to handle your email, your browsing on the web and so on. But this basically never really works. The people working there cannot figure out how to properly separate between the two computers, and they generally end up with tricks of whatever is left open, USB keys or other stuff to transfer data between the two and breaking the separation.
Yeah, that's what Cubes is meant to avoid the need for. And basic, like, hardware, like, right now, I think the lack of hardware accelerated graphics is one of CubeOS's main weaknesses. I think Spectrum OS does have hardware accelerated graphics, but I think it uses the Virtio Wayland plus VirGL approach, which has the attack surface problem. And now, I think Virtio Wayland is actually a decent approach as long as there's some filtering. It's the VirGL that is the annoying part. If there was some sort of core language for GPUs the way WASM is for CPUs, that would make things, I'd be a lot more comfortable with that.
Yes. I just never got why the GPU world is so split in small different components and nothing really standard that never came out. I really don't know exactly why.
I don't know why either. I think that when it comes to one of the things that really, really encourages me is that somehow Microsoft managed to pull off GPU PV. I don't know how they did it. It's proprietary after all, but they did it.
Yes, that's a good sign. But...
And my understanding is that it meets all the requirements except for being open source. Somehow they did it. And it's a defended security boundary. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they did it. I don't know what the attack surface is, but the fact that they did it is really, really encouraging. Because it is meant for this exact use case.
Yes.
And my assumption is if they can do it, then so can we, as in the open source community, given enough time.
Yes. Again, we would need some people more from the hardware and driver side.
So yeah.
To get some light on how to proceed from there.
I agree. And I think that somehow something has to change. Because right now the trade-off is your choices are slow or secure. And that's really unfortunate. And software rendering is getting effectively deprecated by toolkit vendors.
I think that's also a bit unfortunate because they, even though if they had some value with more pleasing stuff, if the cost is to have to give up on security because it's not fast enough anymore, then it may be a bit useless. We can probably do nice graphics with fewer hardware acceleration.
I think so too. I think that one of the problems is that people just don't consider the no GPU case. I'm not even going to go there because this is something I can discuss, but I'll discuss it in private. But the point being that if there was some way to make software rendering faster in a subset of cases that happen to match the ones that actual toolkits rely on, that would be great. But also there's the issue that the things that help software rendering also tend to be things like getting rid of drop shadows and using flat, getting rid of gradients, using flat colors and basically getting rid of a lot of visual cues. And doing so makes the UX people sad.
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but for example, Android went back and the material look is quite flat and with no shades and not many 3D effects. So this.
What about things like drop shadows, though?
Are there still drop shadows on Android material look?
I think so.
I'm not sure, but
it's not something.
It's probably less visible than in previous versions then.
I'm pulling up a conversation that I had in the past on the subject. Thank you.
One thing I know is that it's really important to have quick feedback when you are using a tactile screen, because this is what makes the UX more fluid. That whenever you touch the screen, and it has an action, that you get some visual feedback quickly. But that feedback doesn't need necessarily to have complicated 3D effects, in my opinion.
So yeah, like, well, I think the problem is that even if it could be implemented without relying on that, the toolkit vendors want to rely on it. Because the toolkit writers aren't worried about software rendering performance.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if there is an easy way out of this kind of trap. For example,
hence why I proposed seeing if we can make hardware rendering secure.
Yes.
Which is the whole reason for this talk, is can hardware rendering be made secure? Because if we have to somehow make software rendering fast, that's going to mean a lot of patches to things like GTK, and that's going to mean somehow convincing somebody's going to actually have to maintain it at GTK. Games still won't work. Web GPU still won't work. Firefox just recently got rid of its basic compositor, which was their software renderer. And now they're using web render, a software version of web render, which is a bit slower, usable but slower. And the trend is towards and also battery life on mobile is going to be bad with software, is going to be worse with software rendering because it uses more power. And that really sucks. Like, most of the computing power of a modern device is in the GPU. And that, and wasting it and not being able to use it because of security is not a good situation.
Yes. I don't know if a 2D GPU from 20 years ago, built with modern, smaller engraving technologies would use more power or less power than the current GPUs, and if we could do something like...
Who's going to manufacture it, and B, who's going to...
I know that it's a pure dream. No one is ever going this way, but still.
Yeah, it's like, from my perspective, we know how where the toolkits are going. We know why they're going there. Yeah. We know that if we can provide hardware accelerated rendering to users, then them going there will actually be beneficial to them. So I get, this is not an official motto of Cubes by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a motto. It's something I like to use. Security should be no excuse for poor user experience. And not being able to use hardware accelerated rendering is poor user experience.
Yeah, that I agree, but still the initial question that you asked, is it possible to actually do the hardware acceleration in a safe way? That's for me, it's still an open question.
I think it's That's the other question. If not, what do we need from the GPU vendors? What do the GPU vendors need to give us for this to be possible?
Probably they need to give us the API that you were talking about in a way that it's safe, that provides some guarantees that you can completely separate the data from one application from the data of another one. And that whenever there is a violation there, you will get some clear way to handle it, and not just random lockups and other kinds of things that you cannot recover from.
I will also add, at least in the Cube's context, denial of service is a bug. It is not a security vulnerability.
Yeah.
Being able, if untrusted shaders can crash the system, that is bad. It is not necessarily, at least from my perspective, and again, do not consider, this is not an official position of Invisible Things Lab or of the Cube's OS team. This is just my position. From my perspective, if a feature allows, if the impact can be bounded as this can crash the system, it cannot do anything worse, and it is off by default, then being able to use it for something like games might still be a huge improvement over not being able to use it at all.
Yes, that's...
So...
That's also more or less the current situation that we have, for example, on OpenBSD, where we port the current DRM stack to the OpenBSD kernel, and we have a number of bugs. And we don't know exactly what are those bugs, otherwise they would be fixed. But most of those bugs have just the effect of completely freezing the GPU, and only a hard reset of the machine is able to unstuck this. This is not really satisfying, but most of the OpenBSD users are happier with that than with the previous situation where we didn't add any kind of 3D acceleration.
I think the long-term solution is, I think the mediated pass-through, mediated IO approach of libvf.io has a lot of advantages as well. I think it has the advantage that, from what I can tell, it would be much easier to use in a cloud context. And CubesOS is a lot like a cloud. It's in a lot of ways like a cloud like a little private cloud on your desktop or laptop, and that and part of that is the security requirements. If a cloud vendor is willing to run code from completely untrusted, from completely random customers, and trust on something to provide strong isolation, then there's a decent chance that it will be secure enough for Cubes, in my opinion. I think that, that said, there's other constraints they have that Cubes doesn't have, like having to support proprietary stuff. I think that ultimately this is a really hard problem. I'd like to see it fixed. I think changes in GPUs are going to really help in that direction, but I think there needs to be clear communication with clear information from vendors as to what's supported and what isn't. Is there any chance that you could ask, do you have any contacts you could ask about this question?
Well, okay. I can try to talk to the people who do the hardware drivers part on OpenBSD. They have some knowledge about all this.
Are you an OpenBSD developer?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm one of those.
Oh, nice.
I'm maintaining x.org on OpenBSD for 20 years or so. Trying to get it to build and to ship, so that we can ship something that is reusable. Unfortunately, I didn't have much time to actually work on improving X as much as I wanted to.
Maybe it's time to switch to Wayland.
Yeah, but for this we still have some issues, and more on the input side than on the graphics side.
Oh yeah, because you need to put lib input.
Yes, exactly.
Or switch your kernel API. Yeah.
But this is probably going to be even harder because we support architectures that won't really fit in that model and so on. So it's more like porting or rewriting an API compatible libinput so that we can have what we need. In the past there have been some people who did some very raw prototypes. We just need to find some time to actually invest some more time to make them better and more robust and expose more features. One of the things is that it's quite easy to have, like with the old X core input, just a keyboard and a pointer device, where you don't know exactly, you just have three buttons and coordinates, and no other properties, no gestures, and no multi-touch, and so on. Then it's quite easy if you want to have the full game of all the features that current input drivers propose, and it's quite a lot of more work.
Yeah. Okay. We need to talk privately afterwards.
Yeah, maybe.
Looks like maybe we should wrap up, because...
Yeah.
Unless I can get...
Yeah, I think we've...
Yeah.
We've said almost all we said for today.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was interesting. Thanks.
It was interesting. How can I contact...
If you want to contact me, you can either contact me by email. I put it in the chat. Hopefully, I will not get more spam than that I already do. If this is public,
anything. Email. Do you have like Matrix or IRC or anything for more synchronous?
I'm on the X developers IRC and also on Matrix matrix.titanneutral.net.
If you could type that into the chat, that'd be great.
Yeah, just doing 1 second so that I get it correctly. Up. Sorry, I forgot one error. That's the correct one.
I just sent you an. I'm sending you an invite right now.
I'm seeing it.
Did you get it?
Yes. Joining room. It's running.
Okay, so I think we can summarize it. Yes.
Yeah, I wish I was hoping. I must admit, I was hoping for a better outcome
and a bigger audience, maybe more people for discussion. Yeah. But nonetheless, thanks all for attending, especially Demi for leading this session. And see you soon on the next workshop.
See you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. See you.